And it is 8:27. It is Morning Line here on 90.3 KMBA. My name's Danny. Good morning to you. KMBA keeping you in tune with our community. And this morning we're going to chat a little bit about a special event that's coming up at the UAA bookstore a week from Thursday, a week after Thanksgiving. And it's part of the commemoration of American Indian Alaska Native Heritage Month. And it's a presentation about the Spanish flu pandemic that hit Alaska in the early part of the 20th century. And we are so honored to have two presenters that are going to be at the bookstore next week. Catherine Ringsmith is an educator and author and the proprietor of Tundra Vision, a public history consulting business. Good morning. Good to see you again.
Hi, Danny. Nice to be back.
Also joining us, Tim Troll. Tim, you may know, is the executive director of the Bristol Bay Heritage Land Trust, an organization dedicated to preserving the wildlife, habitat, culture, and history of the Bristol Bay region. Good morning, Tim.
Hey, Danny. Nice to be here.
Nice to see you. Okay, so, Tim, give us just kind of an overview about, for folks who aren't familiar with the pandemic that happened in the early part of the 20th century, and how it came to Alaska and Bristol Bay specifically. Give us kind of a lowdown on that.
Well, it's actually 100 years ago, probably this month, when the great Spanish flu pandemic reached Alaska. And, of course, it was a worldwide pandemic that took millions of lives. And when you actually look at it, more people died from this pandemic than were killed in World War I and World War II combined. So it was very serious and something we certainly continue to worry about even this in our days. But in 1918, it did reach Alaska, mostly on the coastal communities, and had a particularly devastating effect in 1918 in the Nome Northwest Arctic area. For some reason, it did not reach Bristol Bay. I think it was because the cannery ships had already left. So even though in 1918 it was decimated and many thought maybe it was done, in Bristol Bay, it came in 1919 and pretty much decimated it affected everybody. I mean, even health officials were affected by it. But Native communities, particularly in the Northwest and in Bristol Bay, were particularly devastated, and a huge crop of orphans were created as a result of this flu in both the Northwest and in Bristol Bay.
And Katie, you've got kind of a personal connection here.
Oh, sure. So I am spearheading a project called the NN Cannery History Project, in which we are trying to preserve the experiences of the cannery people, not just the international crews that worked in Bristol Bay and these canneries, but also the local community, the cannery caretakers, the people who took care of these canneries in the off-season. And this cannery in particular, when the flu pandemic hit Bristol Bay in the spring of 1919, the superintendent and the cannery doctor and nurse took care of the people who were inflicted with the Spanish flu.
Your father actually worked at the cannery.
He did. My father, Gary Johnson, worked at the cannery for many, many years. He worked his way up to superintendent in 1979, where he ran the Alaska Packers NN Cannery, Diamond NN Cannery, and then was there when ConAgra purchased the cannery and then ultimately Trident Seafoods. And in 1996, he retired. And when he retired, he represented the last of the Alaska Packers superintendents.
And I have in my hand a copy of the Alaska Packers Association's report on the 1919 influenza epidemic in Bristol Bay, and it's pretty fascinating. How did you all get involved with this particular project and with this report? Because this is living, incredible history that I have in my hand.
Well, the thing to remember, of course, Alaska 100 years ago was much different than today. And, you know, to get around most of the state at this time of year, it was dog teams. Getting health officials to these regions was literally impossible. So what happened in 1919, because canneries typically came up with a doctor or health professionals basically for the summer, they were the first to arrive in Bristol Bay. And be able to address this. There was a cannery, there was a government doctor in the Dillingham area, but this is a wide region, and NN is on the other side of the bay. So to the credit of the Alaska Packers Association and the entire canning industry in that year, they're the ones who responded and tried to help those who were afflicted, often at risk to themselves. And they're the ones that initially housed the orphans, for example, at Diamond NN, that ultimately came to Kanakanak near Dillingham, where an orphanage was established for all the hundreds of, at least a couple hundred orphans from the flu.
What did these physicians think? I mean, what was their initial reaction?
Well, one, they would have already experienced and known about the flu because it was going everywhere. So they would have probably even addressed it in 1918, and many of them may have even had it and survived it. But it was overwhelming. I mean, they're coming up on their cannery ships. The flu, as far as we know, did not get into Bristol Bay from the cannery ships. It was already there when they arrived. So they're coming into their canneries, and typically there was a village surrounding a cannery. Villages were decimated, and it was mostly the adult population for this flu afflicted adults more than it did children from like 2 to 14.
Talk about this overwhelming phenomenon of the exploding orphan population.
Well, it must have been absolutely extraordinary. I mean, people must have just been overwhelmed with what was happening. And as far as the doctors were concerned, their big thing was not to let it spread. So when they went into the villages, their first, of course, instinct was to take care of the people who were still alive. And then the next step was to make sure that the bodies were properly buried so that the disease wouldn't spread. And I mean, and then to have the children be afflicted, it was must have been devastating.
Was there like a quarantine?
There was a quarantine. That was the first thing that they did. And surprisingly, you know, you in Bristol Bay, for example, villages like Ugashik just got decimated. The entire adult population died. Yet villages like Igigik, for example, were completely preserved. The disease didn't make it in. And it wasn't just the native population. The winter watchmen, the Caucasian people, were also afflicted. So this was a disease that was not discriminatory. It hit everyone, and it was devastating.
And apparently, if I remember some of my history, the pandemic worldwide was pretty much taken care of by then, wasn't it?
It lasted into the 1920s a little bit in Asia, but 1919 was probably.
So they were kind of getting a handle on it globally, and then all of a sudden, boom, it pops up.
Not that they got a handle on it. People just died and petered out.
Katie, how would you like to read a passage from the report? I wish we could do this, just read this whole report here, but we can't. But I'd love to hear
something. Yeah, it is extraordinary because it is firsthand perspective, and it was written a few months after the event occurred. So the superintendent, Heinbuckle, created this report, and he reports on June 4th, a sailboat directed ashore near the APA Diamond O cannery at Naknek. Three small children suffering from influenza came up the beach and reported that two men were dead in the boat. The bodies were given a decent burial and the children taken to the APA hospital where they recovered, and the boat was towed to the NN cannery. So this is happening in real time, and you know, they were just trying to get away from the village of Sevenoski that was located about 5 miles upriver. So people were just trying to get out, and the adults died en route, and the kids were taken to the hospital, and the hospital at South Naknek is still there. Although the cannery has shut down, the hospital is still there. And one of our efforts is to nominate the hospital along with the whole cannery to the National Register of Historic Places as a maritime Heritage District. And in doing so, we'll be placing the hospital on the National Register, and it'll be the first property nominated associated with the flu pandemic in Bristol Bay.
And the wheels are already in motion on that registration?
Absolutely. We're finishing it up, and it should be the draft completed by January.
Fantastic. It's 8:37. If you're just joining us, our guests this morning are Katie Ringsmith and Tim Troll, and we're talking about the 1918 Spanish influenza epidemic that hit the Bristol Bay region of Alaska, and Tim and Katie are going to be presenting about that event at the UAA bookstore at 4 p.m. a week from Thursday. So it's going to be just fantastic stuff for anybody interested in the history and the effect on the, certainly on the rural population, native community. But this is all part of a component of a bigger project, right?
Well, as Katie mentioned, we're trying to, because of the passage of the Diamond Inn and Cannery, which is really the oldest cannery in the east side of Bristol Bay, but probably the one that's most intact of all the cannery buildings and represents that history. And, of course, the Spanish flu is a big piece of that history. And it should be noted here, I mean, this, you know, the state at the time, Governor Stepovich, was really trying to figure out how to pay for all of this because...
We didn't have BP or ConocoPhillips.
We didn't have BP or ConocoPhillips, but the big guys in that day were the Alaska Packers Association. And finally, the governor did say, well, if you have a bill to present to us, you know, we'll try to pay it. But APA said, nah, we'll absorb the cost, and they did. And had it not been for the Packers Association and the other canners, it could have been a lot worse. So to their credit... they played a big part in history. But the larger story is, as Katie says, to sort of recognize the whole canning history of Bristol Bay, if not the state, and the melting pot that that created in this whole state. And we think that's something worth honoring, and the Diamond and End Cannery is unique and gives us an opportunity to do that. And thanks to Trident and others for allowing us to do that.
Yeah, fantastic. We get set to wrap up. Tim, anything else you want to add?
No, Katie.
Other than we're going to be doing the presentation at the UAA bookstore on November 29th. It starts at 4 p.m. And this is, you know, certainly a story that is worldwide, global, and we're just telling one slice of it, one experience. But I think by telling that one perspective, then people will have a much bigger appreciation for the human experience with the Spanish flu pandemic. It's more than just statistics. It's more than just numbers. When we hear that, you know, more people died in Alaska per capita than anywhere in the world because the flu, when you can tell the actual experiences from firsthand, then I think people gain a much larger appreciation for the people who experienced it.
I think of that in terms of my generation, who was sort of anesthetized by watching Walter Cronkite's body count every day in the 1960s. To really think about that human side, is we have to kind of get out of our little boxes that we create too. So fantastic. Now the report itself. Just one more quick question: is this available to the general public?
It's actually it's part of the APA collection at the State Museum Archive. So absolutely, you can access it. Your history is being protected and preserved.
Fantastic. Okay, the presentation, UAA Bookstore, a week from Thursday, 4 p.m. Katie Ringsmith and Tim Troll, thanks so much for joining us today on Morning Line.
Thank you.
Great,
Dan.
Thank you.
Very welcome.